to see everybody out. Always a wonderful opportunity as we have it to come together and to study the Lord's Word, to worship, to uplift one another. If you use the bulletin as an outline, I want to give you a heads up real quick. I don't plan on using that second point this morning. Use it for a short lesson this evening. Plan on probably take some time as we go through that first point. For the most part, we're going to be spending time in Acts chapter 7 this morning, and there's a lot of verses there in Acts chapter 7. So. But to start us off, I'm going to be reading 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, it is along with the article I had written for this morning, for today, which reads, it says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And as you look at that, and the title of the article this morning was Memory Work, and not just not focused on fully memorized Bible verses, which I believe is good to do also. But memory work is simply remembering what the Bible does say, where and about it says it. That we can be ready to give it an answer. When someone comes and asks you about something, when they come and confront you or accuse you of something, and there's so much today that we can easily get caught up, whether you're talking to somebody against abortion, or you're talking against somebody homosexuality, or you talk to somebody about divorce and drunkenness and lying and so many other variety of things. We talk about religion and different doctrines. And when you get in those discussions, somebody is bound to say, "Well, why do you believe that? Why is that where your faith is? Why do you go to the Church of Christ?" And here in Peter is telling us to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. And always be ready to give a defense, to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope and asks you about your faith. And oftentimes we can easily get caught up because it's what I read in the Bible, it's what mom and dad said, it's what the preacher said. Well, where does it say that? How do you know? And sometimes we might not know exactly what it says, but if we have a general idea, say, "Well, it's in the book of." And I believe it's around this chapter. That'll help us find it faster, find it better, easily give answers to others, and help us as we go down our lives upon this earth, continuing to fight that good fight. So I believe we have a brief example here in Acts chapter 7 of Stephen. As you go back to Acts chapter 6 and look at what the situation is, as they have taken Stephen, because of course he's going forth and proclaiming our Lord and Savior. And you look at verse 11 of chapter 6, Acts 6 and verse 11, it says, "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came up on him and seized him and brought him before the council." So here he has been seized, and they brought out lies saying, "This man blasphemous against Moses and God." And so they brought him, and now he stands trial. And we start there in verse 1. It says, "And the high priest said, 'Are these things so? Are these things so?'" He didn't ask. And Stephen ends up giving a brief overview, not of the entire Old Testament, but of Genesis and a little bit of other spots in the Old Testament. So I just titled it brief overviews of the Old Testament, especially as we include Hebrews chapter 11, which is the bottom part of what's in the bulletin. And I plan on doing a brief talk on that tonight. And so I just want to work through Acts chapter 7. We just went through this, and you're following along in the reading schedule. And you look through it, and there's so many passages throughout the New Testament that do refer to the Old Testament. Quoting and fulfilled prophecies of our Lord and Savior, quoting and pointing out that they are fulfilled prophecies, or even going to Acts chapter 2 and Peter's sermon, Peter go forth, and he talks about David and how he had spoken of this time to come. And so there's so many spots that we can refer to, and that's the way in which we ourselves should react when someone comes and asks us about our faith and hope, that we'd be able to say, well, we'd be able to say the verse, but what? That's in the Bible? Where's that at? We'd be able to point them in the right direction, help guide them, and show them. I believe so. We need to be willing to study the Word of God. So I want to look at Acts chapter 7 and go through here and look at what Stephen does here. He's been accused of blasphemy. Accused of speaking against Moses and God, of the law of Moses which God had given him. And so they say, are these things so? And so you start in verse 2 here, it says, and Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go to the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land, and the Chaldeans lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years, but I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. So he starts off talking about Abraham. And so he's accused of Moses and his law and God is less than that. And so he goes a little further back than just Moses. He leads up to Moses. He goes, well, here's what I got to say. Here's my faith. And so when people question us today, that well, you obviously aren't a Christian because you don't love people and think that they have a right over their own body. Or you don't love people to think that they have a right to be happy in the homosexual life. Or you don't think that we should be concerned about other people's feelings, but when we lie and tell little white lies so that we don't hurt anybody. What do they don't know? It's just, this is what the Word of God tells us. It's conflicted with the scriptures, and you might even do some backtracking to lead up to that position, like we often have pointed out in our Bible studies. Is, you know, you often have to start with that basic Bible authority, saying, do you believe in God? Because if they don't believe in God, then how are we going to get to the Bible? If they don't believe the Bible is God's Word, then how are we going to go any further? And so he backed up here, and he goes, all right, we'll start with Abraham. This is what I believe about Abraham. God spoke to him. God confronted him and told him to leave, and he left, and he promised that he would receive this land, but not himself, but his descendants that he hadn't even had yet. And he also promised that his children would also go through enslavement, but yet he would punish those who enslaved them. So he goes all the way back to Abraham, and he leads through it. So starting in verse 8, it says, he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him, and rescued him out of all the afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him a ruler over Egypt, and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers and their first visit, And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob to his father and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had brought for some of silver from the sons of Hamor and Shechem. But as the time of promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until they arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. And so he's still working his way up to Moses, because that's what he's been accused of. He's been accused of blasphemy, of speaking unlawful, of being unloving, of going against the law. But he's able to backtrack. He's able to answer these things. And again, the mindset of sometimes we get caught up and ask that question, well, how much do we really need to study the Old Testament? How much do we need to know about the Old Testament? Well, if we don't study it, then we're not going to understand the whole chapter. We're not going to understand the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. We're not going to understand the prophecies that were fulfilled if we don't ever study and research these things also. And so again, Stephen is talking over these things, and he's went from basically the beginning of Genesis, he didn't start with creation and Noah, starting with Abraham. And he's worked through all the way through Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, and even going into the land of Egypt. And he continues on. He's able to give an answer. He's able, when questioned, what say you? What is your answer? We've accused you of something. Show me your thing. So again, going back to, we'll go to James chapter 2. Show me your faith by works. We're supposed to show faith by works, and that includes giving answers. Being able to show them why it is we believe what we believe. Being able to go through these scriptures and point out what they have to say. So you pick up in verse 19. Verse 19, dealt shrewdly with our race, and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughters adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brothers and the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wrong, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptians. He supposed that his brother would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them, and they were quarreling, and strive to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers, why do you wrong each other? But the men who had wronged his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptians yesterday? At this report, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of 2 sons. And now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, the flame of fire bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And he drew near to look where came the voice of the Lord. I am the Lord your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals of your feet, for this place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of the people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appears to him in the bush. And so here, you want to know about Moses? Keep talking about Moses. I just have to think that as you're standing there and Stephen is talking to them, he's been accused about blasphemy against Moses. And so he starts with Abraham, he leads all the way up. What is the reaction of the rest of the people as he speaks? Well, that sounds right. Sounds like he's teaching the truth to me. Sounds like his faith is lined up just like our faith is, because he talked about our father Abraham, he talked about Jacob, and he's going down, he's talking about Moses and the burning bush, and how he's going to deliver them. But also, they might be catching on maybe a little bit as we got to the end here,
when he says, this Moses whom they rejected.
Because again, as he speaks of that, he's referring to the likeness
as Jesus, as they all have rejected our Lord and Savior. Because they just went through that. You know, Peter has said this, others have said this, the Lord whom you have rejected. So here it says, look how the brethren rejected Moses, and yet Moses was.
He was the one that was chosen to redeem them and to bring them out of this land, to bring them out of this slavery. And we're going to get to just like Jesus. Jesus is the one that came to redeem you out of slavery of sin, to bring you out of sin, to bring you out of the grasp of Satan.
Make you a new person. But he proves his faith by being willing to give an answer, by knowing the truth. And again, Stephen, we know he you know, probably being guided by the Holy Spirit as he speaks these things also. Also a man of faith who knew what was right, knew what needed to be done, continued to go forth and speak. In verse 36, it says, this man led them out of the performing wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Again, as he continues on the story of Moses, this is who you want to proclaim that I'm doing wrong to. The one that's just like Christ that you guys reject. But look what he says here. He brings out the point of what Moses had prophesied himself. This is Moses who said to Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Again, reminding them that this is what Moses had proclaimed is going to take place. Verse 38 says, this is one who was the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers he received living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made him a calf in those days, and offered a sacrifice to idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you bring me slain beasts and sacrifice during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your God, Revan, and the images you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he spoke to Moses, directed him to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. So again, as you go through here, and he works his way through it, he points out how they have rejected Moses again.
They rejected him once when he first tried to save him, and he fled, he comes back, he brings him out of Egypt, brings him across the Red Sea, he goes up into the mountain, they reject God and Moses once more.
We don't know what happened to him, let's make a God ourselves. We're returning back to the old ways, and he uses this to point out, to show them of their own mistakes, of just being like their fathers before them, and how God had witnessed all these things. They had the tabernacle, and God being in their presence, leading them from place to place, guiding them as a cloud during the day, as a cloud of fire during night. Again, how can he give these answers if he does not know the scriptures, if he does not know what Moses had done? He was prepared to give this answer. He was prepared to show them of his faith. And so verse 45 here, it says, our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they disposed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days. who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for God to take him. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in a house made with hands, as the prophet said. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place for my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?
Again, some of the things that they continue to say Jesus was blaspheming about, and that the apostles and Stephen is blaspheming about, you know, continuously the thing they brought up about Jesus. Oh, he's going to destroy the temple in 3 days. You know, blasphemous, blasphemous. And yet, here again, he refers back to this point. Remember what the prophet said? Remember what God had said in the first place? That he doesn't dwell in a place made by hands. That's not literally where he's at. Continuously using these points as you go from Abraham to Moses. And Moses, as he brings out all the way up to David and Solomon here as they build this temple. And so, yes, it was a good gesture for the Lord and a place for the Jews to come together to make their sacrifice, to have their worship. But it always meant to be about our hearts and our attitudes and serving God. And he refers to all these things, and so you get to the end of what he's speaking to them, just as we kind of pointed out through this whole, through all these verses already, through this whole chapter. So in verse 51, it says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. So he referred to it, you know, when they rejected Moses the first time and when they rejected Moses the second time, and as they continuously focus on all these other things, he finally puts it all together, just as Jesus, I mean, again, following the example. Says this is a forecast of what you guys are doing right now. You guys are being just like your fathers. Verse 52 says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep them. As they proclaim again so much that they are followers of the law, that they are the followers of God, that they are the children of Abraham, he says, you guys proclaim that this was given to you by angels. And yet you weren't willing to remain faithful yourself. You weren't willing to keep the law yourself. Yet they stood there willing to try to proclaim that Stephen was the one that was blessed. Of course, if you would read the remaining of the chapter, it doesn't end well for his physical life for Stephen here. As they did not like the words that he had said, they ground their teeth at him, and stoned him to death. Sometimes our answers doesn't make but it's things that we have to be willing to do, but it can't be done if we don't know the scriptures. The reason why we need to be diligent to open up our Bibles and continue to study, as we're told to do in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we turn to Acts, and we look here and see that we want to be like those in Berea who are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they search the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things are so. They check the scriptures. They confirm the truth. They wanted to make sure that they were following God. Because they wanted to be able to give an answer. They wanted, you know, why do you believe this? Well, Paul taught it to us. That wasn't good enough for them. Cephas or Apollo or Peter. And again, that wasn't enough. They had to search the scriptures to see whether or not these things were so. They made it their own faith. Just as we must do. We must search the scriptures
in order to have our faith. Well, Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to make sure we're continuously studying and ready to give an answer. We don't always have to go full detail as much as he did here. It's more of a long sermon that Stephen has given here as he's put on that trial. We have to have a general idea of what the Bible says, where it says, so that we can find it and guide people in the right direction. Otherwise, we get caught up in a situation like my kids do so often. Well, he says this and he says that. What's the truth? You've got to have the evidence of book, chapter, and verse to show others why we believe what we believe. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we encourage that you do that. We extend the invitation, and usually sometimes it's a short point of just if you need to be baptized. But again, we make sure we do have book, chapter, and verse that goes along with those things. We point out that you have to hear the truth. We're told in Romans 10:17 that you believe it, because Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. We say you must repent of your sin, because Acts 2:38 tells us to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, for the repentance of your sins. We tell you must confess your faith, because we take the example of the eunuch who went down into the water and made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When we wrote Romans 10, where it tells us with confession of your mouth, and we are baptized. A lot of those verses we've already put out there already has baptism in it. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21. We have book, chapter, and verse that backs up the thing that we always want to extend to everybody. And of course, we tell each other we have to remain faithful to death, and we can back that up too. We turn to Matthew 10, or we turn to Revelation 2 and verse 10. We see that we have to endure and remain faithful to Christ to receive that crown of life. So if you need to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of your congregation, we let you know. Stand.